Jason hit on the general notes that I was going to say, but yeah, it's just a high-level review of the revenues and expenditures for the city's operating funds, which is general fund, parks, library fund, street fund, and public safety fund. Given the assumptions, you'll see is how we project it out. We don't have the reserve funds included or the SDC funds, as those are more project-based as we have revenue. We also assumed the passage of the parks operating levy for the purpose of this projection, and we do not have included possible changes of storm or sewer district takeover or so I will just jump into the projection with the assumptions on page.
Question, Councilor Jenkins?
Yes. Although you're not including the capital improvement projects, but we are going to incur some of that debt. So is that debt going to be included, if not in this plan, in future projections?
The
CIP debt.
Yes. None of it's included. So this is just the revenues and expenditures for the for those operating funds.
Right, but you should be including debt at some point. It's part of your expenditures.
Can I clarify? Are you talking about the next list of projects?
In any capital improvement projects that we mm-hmm. have, I just want to make sure the debt is included somewhere for now or in the future if we have those projects.
Well, to push back a little bit, how much?
Well, the debt load that we incur per year should be included in the expense portion of your projections.
We don't know the projects. We don't know how.
No, I'm saying when you do them in the
when
future.
We determine right, what they
yeah,
are.
You're saying,
no,
yeah.
what they are. Just want to make sure that your debt
in
is
future years.
Future years, bond payments will be allocated as an expense in future
right.
years. Based
sure.
on what's going
I thought
future.
You meant in this projection.
In this. But no, in this they're not included, as that would be more of a shot in the dark, and especially on the year of the timing. So this is kind of what we know,
right.
basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure in the future. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Point of clarification.
Sure. So the general assumptions that we're basing this off is revenue growth factor of 3% for most things. If on certain line items, if we know more than that, then we will use those facts. Property taxes are at 7% increase, and we've seen closer to 10 and 11 in some of the past years, but I don't think we can count on that necessarily, but 7% is still pretty robust.
Income for population and assessed value growth. Library district growth, based on property taxes, is a lower percentage given that they're more unincorporated as well with less growth. Building and development fees can be a big driver for the general fund. And we didn't try to pinpoint which years would be higher than others. Rather, we took a kind of an average based on other 5 years that we've seen. And we're just going with more of a moderate 5-year average for building, planning, and engineering fees. When we get to the budget process for that first year, we'll try to pinpoint more of what we think will happen for 18, 19.
Question?
Sure.
Council. Under general fund, you've got, aside from year one, staff has added each year the projection in one of the general fund departments.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just kind of a placeholder, or are you?
Yeah, that's, we don't know necessarily the timing of what would be needed when, but we just figured we're not going to say the same exact FTD in the general fund 5 years from now.
So you project one per year then?
Yeah, and when I bring that up, I can tell you which years that those are at. But it'll just be included in that overall
5%. So you're just putting a 5% fee on SDC collections for master plans, collections of student staff. Mm-hmm. Is that 5% actual projected expense for those things? Or is that just kind of a general?
It's 5% of the projected revenue, SDC revenue for parks and transportation. And that was kind of also based on what we remitted to NCPRD and the county. So given what we've collected, 5%, and then projecting that forward for 5 years, also with the moderate growth, that's what they were coming out to.
Jason?
And that's also included in the SDC methodology work that the council did.
Yeah, okay.
That's where the 5% comes from.
Okay, I was just asking clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Going down to expenditure assumptions, wages in, are growing at, and benefits, 5%. You'll see that FTE additions at the bottom of each one noted. Actually, wages are 5% and benefit growth is 7%. Materials and services growing at 7% as well.
Now, do you separate question?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Councilor.
The healthcare, do you do that separately? Because healthcare generally jumps up higher.
For the purpose of this, we use more of a percentage of total personnel. So basically 65% wages and 35% benefits, which is benefits is the retirement and taxes, employer taxes, and healthcare, I guess.
Because healthcare can generally increase by 9, 10, 11%.
Yeah, and, but so do wages, so as that grows, that benefits figure gets larger, and mm-hmm. So it is accounted for in that figure.
Just clarifying, you don't account for it separately, you calculate it separately?
No, in the budget, there will be more of a fine-tuned look at what it needs to be.
Okay, thank you.
The Clackamas County contract for public safety has a 6% growth factor for personnel and 7% for M&S, and that's how they break it out.
Question?
Yes?
Yes.
The 190K, does that include the car we provide for them?
It's all inclusive, right?
Fully loaded.
Fully loaded, yeah.
Okay.
The car, the uniform, the...
Officer, 190,000 fully loaded, right? The car, everything.
Okay, thank you.
So unless there's any other general questions, I can move to the general fund.
Questions? No? Okay. Thanks, Travis. Let's move forward.
Okay. So this is the summary look at the general fund. And I think this graph can be pretty helpful in each fund. The red portion is expenditures. The blue line is revenue. And the green portion is transfers.
We're on packet page 21 for, we skipped through all the definitions and all that stuff. Okay.
Well, you skipped through all these charts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are just for you, Mark. Markley, we didn't get those. Those are just for you.
Yeah.
Actually,
they were.
They actually were.
Oh. Yeah.
It was from previous years. Uh-huh. Markley requested a to show how we had performed against the previous five-year
yeah.
plan. So
right.
These are based upon a request.
They said Markley at
Council
the bottom.
And I thought they were good.
He's upset we're blowing right through them.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Six questions on each page.
There's a lot of information on those pages, but anyway.
Any questions about those actually before we move on?
No, I was just going to say I think they're good.
Okay.
And they have a lot of information, like you said.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Good.
So this amount above the blue line would be the operating shortfall. But you can see the actual expenditures going out the door are still below that. So then
when the blue line's above the whole thing, then that's the operating surplus.
Okay. We don't see that really anywhere. In the projection.
Generally not.
Yes, Counselor Ellis.
FY.
Council President Ellis, sorry.
2019, we show transfers out of 2.3 million. Why so much compared to the other years?
Okay. We can jump into that first year of the projection on the next page.
Can we move this so people can see it?
No, we're good. I'm good. I can't see it anyway, so it doesn't matter. I mean, I can see what we're looking at, though. If you point to it, I can relate it to what I'm doing. So I don't need to see it any bigger, actually.
You want me to zoom in?
Because I'm kind of...
Yeah.
Zoom in a little bit.
Sure.
You're all right. I'm following along on mine.
Did you press the...
I believe I did. So yes, that is included in that 2.3 on the first year is an additional 1.5 million transferred to the facility capital project fund, similar to what we did last year. So that would bring that total to 3 million for the purchase of some sort of property or building. Yeah, and then after that, it's the transfer figure is 500,000 to the reserve for replacement and 200,000 to the general operations reserve per the council policy for that reserve fund.
I just lost my whole page here. Go ahead.
It is up there now. They did blow it up, if that helps.
I had it here and I hit the wrong thing.
Oh, okay. So we got it up top and here. So if anybody wants to look there.
Up. That's strange.
There you go. There you go. So general fund. We do have in year three, we have an additional staff FTE, and year five. And those will be depending on need for which area it would be.
That was just
administration. There's community services and public safety in year two or three as well. Year two and four, or I have economic and community development FTE added.
What year did you say? Sorry.
Nope, counselor.
What year did you say public safety?
Community services and public safety,
right.
Is
2021,
or sorry, 21, 22.
So year four?
Year four.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought you said, all right, thanks.
Sure. The development fees include the building planning and engineering as well as the new line item of the SDC compliance fee. There's also, for the first year, one FTE was moved from community services to the parks fund as we discussed in that draft parks budget for event staff, and the expenditures also are revenue for event revenue and park reservations went to the parks fund as well. So some of the revenue decreased and some of the expenditures decreased from that. So the ending fund balance is declining, but it does stay in better shape than some of the previous years. Also in personnel is additional expenses for PERS increases added. We do expect that to increase each 2 years for foreseeable future, basically.
Okay, what is that in whole numbers? I didn't do the comparison, so what did we have last year? 330,000, something like that? Or is it only 180 and then a percentage is requests?
Per.
The increase percentage.
The increase. I don't know what the dollar amount was, but it, essentially it's, it goes from tier one, tier two is like 20%, and OPSERP, tier three is about 15%, and then it goes to 20 and 25 for the next year. And that's a percent of wages. So I'm not sure what the dollar amount is, but it's substantial.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't imagine we're going to hear this across the board in the state as far as cities go and what that's going to do to some cities' budgets.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite substantial, I would imagine, for small cities.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big deal. Counselor?
Tier one people are starting to drop off. I mean, their curve,
yeah,
they kind of hit the peak for the most part and coming down, so.
For us specifically, we have a much larger percent of tier three or OPSERP. So,
right.
That's good.
So you're going to see that actually kind of decrease.
Yeah, especially over this many years as retirements come, it's probably generally the tier one, tier two employees.
Okay.
Questions, anybody?
On the PERS thing, so how long do you think it'll be before our PERS payments start going down because the tier one people are gone and then the tier two people will start going away soon too? So is there any projection on when that could happen? Or
and that's not dependent on us. That's like, even if we had all OPSERP, we're still going to see increasing rates because it's the overall pool.
The legislature is the one that decides.
Yeah. So it's all based on what the investment returns are going to be for the PERS. It's going to be a while.
Okay.
We're not going to see it go down.
My point was, it's going to increase, but the amount of increase is going to decrease over time as the tier one and tier two start dropping off.
Eventually.
Yeah,
that's true.
But not tomorrow.
Probably not during our lifetimes.
Well.
Honestly.
I believe you. David, you have the better chance than any of us that it might happen.
If you were tier one.
Yeah, okay. Even if they cut off all new people entering
from
the system, it still doesn't help that much. It's all the
liability is there, the assumptions.
Okay, thank you.
The highlighted portion from the preceding years, they were incorrect in the packet, and so I updated that right here. But it didn't have any effect on the years going forward. It's just the preceding. Right here. So we can move on from the general fund. Yeah.
Okay, questions on the general fund? No? Okay. Parks?
So we do have the ending fund balance is hovering at about a 10% contingency on this projection. So that will have to be prioritized on a yearly basis, how much goes towards operating and how much goes towards reserve funds, and then trying to build up the contingency percentage as well as needed. So we can get into the figures. So we have, just like you saw in the draft parks budget, they had broken out into operations, which is maintenance at Public Works, and then programming. It starts with 2.5 FTE for operations, which is just an increase of 0.5 from what we had, and then 2 for programming. and one of those is from the general fund.
Oh, okay.
So it's, overall, it's an increase of
one and a half.
Included in the transfers is, for the first year, 425 towards the parks reserve for replacement, and 500 thereafter for the reserve. We also added from the draft that you saw 100,000 to a parks capital improvement fund that could possibly supplement SDC revenue for capital expenditure.
Counselor?
Is that included in your non-departmental?
It's included in the transfers line.
Okay, so your non-departmental, what is that 455 for?
The 80? Oh.
The budget.
Yeah. This 425. 455. Oh, that's in the budget line. There was a big grant budgeted there that we did not receive from the 17-18 budget. So even though you see it there on the budget column, it's not in the estimate, the actual column. It's only 5,000 there for non-departmental.
Okay.
So we do have FTEs added in year two and year four. So, but as we're just starting, it's hard to tell what would be needed for, especially for recreation. The user-related fees includes the program fees and event revenue.
So the parks fund is going to fund the maintenance of the parks. Does that money get transferred out of public works, or are you going to, and how are you going to deal with that?
It's all coming out of this revenue at the top, which is the levy, the property taxes.
Free up money in public works?
Yes, there is no transfer shown here from the general fund, which includes public works, as there was in the previous years.
Because right now, isn't the public works paying for park maintenance?
General fund is.
Right, so you're saying that since we were subsidizing our park expenditures from the general fund previously because we weren't receiving enough from the district,
right?
You're saying that since we're now receiving revenue, in theory, that amount would offset what was coming from the general fund, or potentially. Okay,
Mr. Bryant.
However, you're moving the expenses from the general fund and those two FTEs back into here. So you're shifting the whole line item.
Because you used two employees from Public Works to do the parks. Now those employees
are in the parks fund.
Right.
But what revenue were you getting for those Public Works employees? Park fund money from NCPRD?
Right.
And general fund money.
And general fund.
Subsidizing that.
Subsidized by the general fund.
Right. But the general fund subsidy won't need to be there anymore.
Correct.
But it's not really extra because the employees will go back and we'll put more employees in the parks fund. 1.5, not quite 2. I guess there might be some savings, a half of an FTE.
Yeah, there'll be some savings, but if you shift an employee from the general fund to the parks fund, and that's what they're going to be working on, you just took one person away from doing the duties they're doing right now. So we're going to have to backfill that. So there's really,
it shifts
the burden, it shifts the revenue and expenditures into the parks fund.
Correct.
And limits any kind of subsidy from the general fund that we were paying towards the parks fund.
Correct.
We won't need to do that anymore.
Yep.
So what you're saying is you'll backfill, you'll add employees or FTE to public works?
Not necessarily to public works, no. Well, I mean, public works is gonna be responsible for managing the operations and maintenance of the parks. But it's not underneath the public works fund, it's underneath the parks fund. So our total FTE increase was 0.5, in the parks fund for operation and maintenance. Right now, we have two in public works for park fund. Those are being shifted over now into just the parks fund. Those expenditures are no longer in the general fund, parks fund, under public works.
Public works.
Yeah.
The last couple of years, we have had them in the.
Oh, the separate parks fund, yeah. But it's still subsidized by the general fund.
Right.
So.
Council President?
I try to break this down in the simple terms, but, so from now on, there won't be any general fund money going to the parks?
Correct.
Nothing.
Unless you decide you want to.
No, no, I know, but right now, we don't have any plan for.
No, we're planning on using the 54 cents.
Right. The part, so the, when the levy passes.
Yeah.
Optimistic.
Yes.
All that money will go towards.
Solely used for parks.
And so the general fund won't have to, use that anymore. Now, one time you said something about the park fund was gonna pay back the general fund for like the boardwalk and stuff like that?
That's a policy decision of the council. I know there was at least one comment made during that joint Parks Advisory Committee meeting with the council where, it was expressed a desire to pay back the general fund.
Who did, who expressed that?
Paul Mueller.
Oh, somebody from, I thought you meant council, I'm like, I don't remember anybody from council.
No, Paul Mueller from Parks Advisory Committee, and then in subsequent conversations I had with him, he believes that the parks fund, any extra there may be, well, his argument is much more complicated than that. He says, don't add any programming, don't add any staff, take all that extra money, put it, pay back the general fund for the money that came from the general fund for all the park improvements that were done, such as the basketball hoops, the, or the basketball courts, the tennis courts, the boardwalk and all that. But I think that's a big policy decision from the council, and at this point, it would not be my recommendation. We're starting out with a new service here, and, as you can see with the 10% contingency, a projected 10% contingency, this isn't the budget, but it's looking that way from the start, that there's not gonna be a lot of room.
I just briefly, when we decided to put money into the parks, I don't think there was any discussion about paying the general fund back.
I know, I don't even remember having that.
From anybody in the council, no, there was no discussion about it. And as far as the park fund goes, the bottom line for me is, I just wanna see as much money go to the parks as possible. You know, we need a contingency fund, obviously, but the more we can pour into these parks, the better off we're gonna be as far as I'm concerned.
Not from the general fund, you're talking about from the park.
No, I'm talking about from the 54 cents.
Well, I think that's what the promise is to the people, too.
Right.
That we're not gonna take any park dollars that we receive and put it somewhere else. Now, you made a comment in your first opening statement about that the general fund will not have to do anything for parks. That's a little more general, because again, these are tax dollars coming in. Let's just say we're out there and we've got a reserve and we wanna do a transfer in order to subsidize a park's capital something.
Well, that's.
I'm just saying, I don't wanna be like, we will not mix the two. No, that's not the plan, but if we're going the other direction, I certainly never wanna see the parks have to go to general, I guess in dire straits at some point, but the other way around, like you said, we might have to get out ahead of certain things, and maybe if that's the case.
And can I clarify one thing? We have built this projection and planning to build the budget that you'll see here pretty soon, that it carries the overhead responsibility in the parks fund, just like every other
department
does in the city. Police, library, everyone has that overhead rate that they pay for general services such as my time,
sure.
HR, IT, all those. And so we were able to bring those overhead costs down by reworking the numbers a little bit, which benefits, benefits this fund so that we can provide more service, park service for the community.
Yeah.
In a even broader conversation, the more services and revenue areas that we add, departments, let's say if you're talking about sewer in the future, that then helps all the rest of the departments because you have one more revenue source paying for the overhead costs.
Sure. Out of the general, as opposed to the general, just
correct.
The general. Which makes sense. Does it make sense to everybody? Yeah. Okay. Council.
If I could just add my voice to that, that I don't think we're going to be paying back any money to the general fund from the parks fund. I don't think that's necessary. The money's already been expensed. I don't see any reason to do that.
I don't think you'll see that in my draft budget. Actually, I'm certain you won't.
And that's a good thing.
We can move on to the library fund.
Yes. That's any right. Questions on the parks?
That's good.
Here's another situation where the you do have an operating shortfall, but you also have healthy transfers going to the library reserve, building up that. Savings, basically. And we can get into that.
So if you've got that much of a shortfall, you can make some adjustments? That's a great...
Yes, every year. We can't go into any type of negative...
That's done in the budget
yeah.
process, though, not the projections.
Yeah, so in all the past 5-year projections, there is some downward trends sometimes, but you just...
That's how we do
on
it.
On an annual basis, what we would do is we would present you with a budget with a minimum of a 20% contingency, take care of all the other service needs, material and service, personnel, everything else we need, and then any of that extra would be put into the reserve for replacement fund. So you kind of work backwards from the... You have your needs, your revenue, and then make sure we hit that 20% minimum contingency amount, and then the rest of it goes into the reserve for replacement.
I understand, but you can't in your projections actually reflect more accurately reflect what you're actually going to do, because you're not actually going to operate at that levy, at that loss, downfall every time. So you could just say, I'm going to reduce my contingency transfers out, to bring that up so that you're actually reflecting is what you're probably going to do.
Well, I think that's a great point. That's exactly why we're going through this process is to say, look, if we carry these transfer amounts, this
that's
is going to have an impact on our future.
Right.
So we'll make a note of that, and then on a yearly basis when we go to do the budget, we'll make sure that we're keeping
we'll remind
that contingency.
Ourselves where we are.
Yeah.
Mr. Bryant, did you have something?
I was just going to add that, and again, it's conservative district revenue assumptions, and if that were the case where we have a shortfall, we probably wouldn't be adding a staff, or we do have adding staff, and we wouldn't do that, right? So it's just it's worst case kind of scenario.
Yep.
Just a quick question on the library reserve for replacement. What is that used for? I mean, is that building maintenance, buy books, all that, or
HVAC,
I don't
generators.
Know.
Generators.
The
what?
Roof.
HVAC generators, roof. I mean, there's a...
That's what I
but
mean.
Then,
maintenance or?
Also for a future expansion or mm-hmm. remodel.
There is that line in there, which is a big bulk of that.
I was just curious.
Future expansion is a...
And that's all the conversation that the library group is having. Had a lot of emails several months ago about the county looking at maybe limiting city's ability to use any operating surplus for capital.
Mm-hmm.
That conversation is going to come back up towards probably the end of the year. We're going to have to keep an eye on it, but if we should not be penalized for being efficient in our service delivery, and if we are able to save some money to be be able to add on to the library in the future and not have to bond. We all know the issues with bonding because half of the service area is outside of our city. How are we gonna do that? If we're able to save a little money, we should be able to use that to expand the building to provide the service for the community. That's gonna be under attack severely coming up very soon.
Why is that under attack?
Library advocate folks think that all the money that is collected from taxes should only go towards service rather than facilities. But if you don't have a facility, you can't provide service, so anyways, we can spin that around all day long.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you gotta have a building to keep it in. They're not free.
Yep.
Okay, anything else? You're still continuing on with?
Yeah, we can move to the public safety fund.
Okay. Any questions, library? Nope.
And, oh, Travis, did you explain we did have a edit on the?
Oh, yes. Thank you for pointing that out.
It's just $1.2 million.
Yeah, it's all right. There is a.
Eagle eye, David.
There's a correction right here from what you saw in the packet. This beginning fund balance figure for the budget was too high. And, but that didn't carry forward to the rest of the ending fund balances.
Oh.
So that edit was made right here.
Can they leave after we're done with their section?
Some.
They're looking.
Probably not.
The public safety fund.
Doris is wanting to leave.
Oh, Doris? Yeah, Doris.
Bye.
Oh, I thought you meant everyone.
No, individually.
Okay.
I was just asking, is it okay if you can go? And Jason's like, no, not everybody. My God.
Lori.
Sorry, that's not what I meant.
So the library's gonna give us.
Sorry. She kind of waved. I'm like, I think I don't know.
Is this the library resource officer?
Yeah.
The school resource.
All right. Public safety.
So the public safety fund is completely driven by the contract and the revenue that we get from the levy.
I just had a kind of question.
Yes.
We're not looking, does the sheriff contact us about any great increase in expenses? Sometimes they do, they've done it in the past.
They're required to by contract by the end of April. Our contract says that there's a maximum ceiling of 8%, they can't charge over. Traditionally, it's been between 3 and 4. Last year, we saw 5%. They have their collective bargaining unit, which completes this year. So you might see a slight increase there and some back pay, but generally by April, end of April, we'll know what the percentage increase is gonna be. I think we budgeted for 6.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Golubic.
So our police levy is up and is gonna need to be up for, in 2020, correct?
Yeah.
And the assumption here is that we're not going to look for an increase after.
That is, we did carry the current rate forward for this purpose.
Regardless if the council wants to go that way, we can, but for the projections.
Right, I just wanted to verify the projections, did it the same rate. Thank you.
Sure. And we, so we have the assessed value growing at 7% for revenue and 7% for materials and services and 6% for police personnel. Hopefully we don't see that high of increases year over year, so this could look considerably better than what we see here. 17-18, we have an officer added this current year, which we haven't had come on board yet.
So we've been having some issues with that, right? Hiring? Are we kind of looking at
so
that? We've kind of had it projected always, and we don't, you know, we've had.
We had the position added in this current fiscal year, 17-18. We requested it nearly a year ago, and we just received the position, the person started in March. So we already pre-requested one for next year.
Okay.
knowing that it's not gonna, we probably won't get that person towards, until towards the end of the year. I have scheduled a time to talk with the council about exactly what we want that position doing. Should we have a discussion about a school resource officer, that position being that, or are we talking about a patrol officer?
Sure.
So, I've scheduled that, and we'll be talking about that soon.
Okay, good. Good conversation.
So there's the additional one in this current year, which will be coming on, and then another one, 18-19, year one. Who knows how long it'll take for them to actually come start working. So that would be two additional from where we're at now, as shown in this projection.
Okay.
So it is a declining Indian Fund balance as we see it here. We can move on to the final.
Questions, you guys?
Oh, looks like we need to take a look at this when 2020 comes up.
I know. It's like, jeez. Okay.
Yep.
But you'll have a lot more information at that point.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And
oh, yeah.
As we play out these next couple years. So.
Okay, street fund.
This large amount right there on the year one is the transfer out of the street fund, the fee in lieu amount, which is restricted for the certain projects, not available for just operations in the street fund. So it's kind of a convoluting the Indian Fund balance. So we're proposing in the first year to transfer it to the street reserve fund so that it's not commingled with the operations.
Okay. Makes sense.
That's about $1.5 million and growing. So the revenue would go into that reserve fund as well.
$1.5 million. How many? 2 feet of sidewalk?
Yeah. year one, there's an additional FTE of 0.5 for the West sweeping contract from a retired employee who's going to still continue to do that, but we still have the two full times as well in the street fund.
Council President?
At one time there was talk of an engineer for the street fund.
That was
still in there?
That was wrapped into the transportation maintenance fee discussion, so we wouldn't hire an engineer at this point without an additional funding source.
But you're talking two employees for the street fund.
That is current. That's what we have right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So no new ones.
No.
0.5.
Just the 0.5 for the, that's so dedicated
to the contract.
Sweeping
for
contract.
Yes,
right.
And if that revenue source went away, I think it's okay. Possible the FTE would too.
Okay.
We do have in materials and services is where the street reconstruction line would be. In year one, there's $1 million dedicated to that, and declining from there over the projection. We do have a considerable jump in state shared revenues in the intergovernmental line right here from the House bill that passed.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely helps the street fund. With the addition of the local tax as well, gas tax of $100,000 is about what we're going to get, and increasing from there.
So we had, oh, Mayor?
Yes, sir. Mr.
We had two projects that we put out to bid, remember last year, and it came in $150,000, $200,000 over budget. We rebid those, came back in $25,000 less than what the engineer's estimate was in the previous bid amount also. And so I gave Chris the go-ahead. It's in the budget, and those projects are
$670,000.
The two projects.
And the two projects are Spring Mountain and Valley and Terrace.
And then Chris is also working with a consultant right now. We're putting together a an analysis of where we're at with our local roads. So we're gonna have a consultant out there looking at all of our pavement quality again, and then put together a strategy of how we can target the improvements and what type of improvements. So we'll bring that plan back to the council. But I think with the additional revenue we're getting from the state, we're gonna be able to do more, and so pretty exciting.
What about the curves? Where are we at with the RFFA funds and getting that done? The 15-18 funds?
We've selected the consultant and are moving forward with the right-of-way acquisition and right-of-way services.
And are we...
HHPR is the consultant.
What about, you know what I'm talking about, the straightening of the curves?
129.
What about, what was the grant? 2.4, but we were at what? We were gonna be under, or below the projected, so where are we at on the scope of that work? What are we gonna be, have to subsidize that?
Yeah, it's gonna have to come out of the pedestrian improvement project fund, the storm drain fund. We think we can cover the cost. I think the total gap was about 800,000.
It's that much more now? Because I thought it was, I did think it was more, but I couldn't remember what the number was, but anyway.
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind is that that's a projection, right? We don't really know what's gonna happen, of course, until we go...
No, for sure, and we asked for that additional dollars and we didn't receive it. I was just wondering when it was starting, because, you know, it seems like forever ago that we pitched that, and it's nice to see those curves happen at some point, but yeah, I was just wondering that. Okay.
When is it planned to be started?
I don't know when exactly construction will begin, to tell you the truth, but we're...
How about a half-truth?
We're on the cusp.
What does that even mean?
I'll say a year. At the rate we've gone so far, it was supposed to be done in 2018.
Yeah.
Before construction begins, you're saying another year?
Oh, I bet it. If we're just starting right-of-way acquisition and design, we're a year out. Plus bidding, the current environment, I am just projecting that the project's gonna come in even more, and
sure,
so we're gonna have to figure out how to fill that gap.
So frustrating.
Okay. Yeah, if we would've built it 3 years ago, guess what?
Yeah, the 2.4 would've made the scope of the work. Okay.
Just to clarify, one last thing, all of that time is really on the shoulders of the Oregon Department of Transportation.
Yes, sure, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was on you.
Yeah, we can,
you know, we know
we
that.
Can point fingers.
No,
sure.
I'm just saying in general, it's just, you know, for the, just for us and to know, kind of, I get asked that question, not often, but just, hey, what ever happened, you know, and so I just like to have an idea, but no, appreciate it. It just is what it is.
Another thing to think about for the future is we can always try to go back to the well.
We tried a little bit.
Well, we don't have the hard numbers. Yeah. When we get the hard numbers, we can always try to go back to the well. And I don't know if it's going to work, but all they can say is no.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. All right, thanks.
So given those revenue figures, it's greater amounts for street reconstruction, but obviously that can still go quickly with any project. Any further street question, street fund?
Questions, you guys? I don't think so.
That's good. That'll do it for these funds.
Okay. Now we're on to capital improvement. Or do you want to
break or jump right in?
Do you guys want to take a break?
I'd like to get coffee.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go to the employee break room because this one broke.
We'll just take a 5-minute break.
Okay.
Okay. So we're back in session for work session today. Again, is Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. Okay, capital improvements. Mr. Tuck.
Thank you. So you've read the materials and seen the spreadsheet, which is only a partial spreadsheet of all the needs in the city. But we have a lot of needs. Now, we don't need to panic because we have a long time to get all this stuff done. But staff needs some direction on what we should start working towards. We're now in control of prioritization of our parks projects and transportation projects, so that's a good thing, but also comes with the responsibility. We also need to recognize that we have funding limitations. We're not gonna be able to do all this in even in a 5-year timeframe, unless we did a massive bond or something. So we have some time, we have a large list, and I'm just gonna go through the spreadsheet that you have here. I do have some questions at the bottom and other considerations that if you get time to look at. But this was my best guess in putting together a priorities type system for all of our needs out there. And then, of course, with the best information we had on costs. So going down the list, first of all, is a community center and community park. There was some communication by Councilor Drake by email about splitting those out. And I sent that out by email. You have that. So if we were to do just a community park and improvements, that's approximately $11 million. When you do a community park with the community center, of course, that goes up quite a bit. And we're in the, what was that?
37.
What was that?
37, I thought.
Didn't write it down.
26 is the difference.
Oh, right. Yeah.
26.
26 is 37 total.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So recognize that those can be two separate projects. They can be combined or split apart. I put a time frame on here. Oh, on the time frame side, it basically assumes we have all the money right now, and you're just trying to prioritize the staff on what we should be working on.
$143 million.
Yeah, which would go to about $11 million a year bond payment. Not practical, because that's $4 per $1,000 of assessed valuation. If you were to bond at all, of course, we would have other revenue streams such as SDCs. But
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I have a question on how you want to do this. Are you going to have Jason go through the whole thing, then we're going to go back and talk about them, or are you going to go one at a time when we talk about them, or are we not going to talk about it at all?
Jason, how do you want to do it?
I think it would be best if I could just go down the list, okay. Kind of add a few things, and then we'll...
Okay, that's fine.
We'll go okay. For it. Public Works Facility. Right now, we are busting at the seams. We need to do something pretty quick there, or come up with another strategy of how we're going to store material, store equipment, and provide that work. We do have a cost estimate of about $8.5 million for a building and property, and that was some work that Curran McLeod did for us. Turf ball fields, this is of course on our list of projects that we wanted NCPRD to do and they didn't. Cost estimate for that is about $5 million, and that came from Eastside Soccer. They're building the facility up north here, and Butch Pollard was able to give Chris Randall the information on that. Sidewalks, kind of broken out into two areas. If you recall, back in the day, we did a super block study of what it would cost to do just the sidewalks in the super block. Luckily, over time, a lot of development has filled in some of those gaps, and so there's just a few remaining gaps, but it's still expensive. We're looking at $2.5 million to complete those gaps. There is a project that would do a pretty good portion of it on the corner of Ridgecrest and 132nd. It was approved for a subdivision, but I don't know if they've resurrected that or if they've just been sitting on it. So that may take care, drop that number a little bit.
We're talking about right by the LDS church?
On the north end. Ridgecrest, 132nd.
The big bank of earth.
Oh.
Yeah, that big
yeah,
high.
Yeah.
And there's a little gap that's a house
mm-hmm.
that maybe we'd have to think about filling in. The developer will be responsible for one long bookend and one short bookend, and then there's that house.
Right.
If we jumped in and filled in that little infill, you'd have a good section.
And we could use our pedestrian improvement project fund for that, and it would be relatively inexpensive. So that development, plus a little bit of money, we could get a pretty good portion of that done, but there's still some other significant gaps by the church and that corner there and then along King Road. And we're going to go over the maps here in a second so you can see it. Then, of course, we have the remainder of the city with lots of sidewalk gaps all over the place, the tune of about $25 million. New community policing center. I, took a shot at putting this at one of our lower priorities at this point. I think they have room now. Just looking into the future, you know, I don't foresee our city having the police respond out of an old farmhouse. I think at some point it's going to need to be modernized and in a better facility for those folks to work out of. Street maintenance, we heard a little bit before. This is, I put a 3-star there, and you can see we received additional funding from that House bill and 2017. We still have a little bit of a gap, we believe. This study that we're doing will help us provide or help get us a strategy as to deal with our residential streets, but there's still a little bit of gap, but I think we're doing a lot better than what we had projected before when we were talking about the transportation maintenance fee. So I'm kind of dropping that project off of the discussion for priorities, because we're just going to start working on stuff. 162nd Avenue South, Michael will get up here in a little bit and show you the maps, but essentially it's from Terre Lawn down to where the new high school is going to be. I have a pretty serious concern about having an elementary school, a high school, middle school, and all the associated activities there with one access, Rock Creek Boulevard. I know the fire district also has an issue with that. So I think this 162nd Avenue South project is going to need some consideration. In what time frame, I'm not quite sure. I know the high school's out another at least 3 years, but it's one we're going to have to think pretty hard about. 172nd Avenue North, there's actually, the project can be broken up into different pieces, so Michael will walk us through that. Rock Creek Boulevard East Extension. So this is the property that is right now at the terminus. It's a three-way stop there. It would extend further to the east, provide access to the industrial ground where GDI, Sunrise Water, and some other vacant parcels there. It might be a relatively inexpensive project considering the scope of some of these others that might provide some economic benefit to us. The final one is Misty Drive East Extension, and that would tie into where it is through the apartments over by Fred Meyer from here to over there. And again, I prioritize that draft prioritization pretty low compared to some of the other needs we have.
Just a question. Did you mean to skip the two neighborhood parks? You skipped it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, those really going to be, could be developer driven. So one of them would be the one up in Scatters Mountain, and the other one at Pleasant Valley Villages. So the developer is going to build them and get SDC credits. And I think that's a model that we can use into the future as these larger developments come in, so that we're not out there purchasing property. And I think it's a good tool, and the developers seem to like to do it. So
you probably save a little money, that's fine.
Yeah, and those are about $3 million each.
Okay.
In the master plan.
Okay.
So, questions?
Okay. Councilor Drake.
A couple questions. I mean, parks, to me, these park projects be kind of set aside because we don't know how the funding's going to end up for those things at the current time. So we may get other funding, obviously, for our other process. But I'm also, one thing that just kind of keeps swirling in my head is that we talk community center. At some point, we should define what a community center is. You know, what are we really thinking about? Because we've heard everything from one with indoor basketball courts to like the Milwaukee Community Center, which is meeting rooms and do yoga and Tai Chi classes. So kind of that'll help us define how much this thing is going to cost, how big it needs to be, all those things. I don't know, I guess the Parks Committee would be the group doing that, I would think.
I'm going to propose in the budget that you're going to see for this year, a feasibility study to help us determine what a community center is and the funding sources But I think from the outreach that we did this summer and even subsequent to that, the, at least the PTA meeting that I went to, they said, is community center your number one priority and when are you gonna start on it? So.
I was knocking doors today for campaign. That was, I think I had only two questions, but specifically, you know, we know the parks levy's coming up and we're looking forward to the community center with the indoor water facility or whatever it was. I'm all. It's like, oh, I think, yeah, okay, well, yeah, yeah, we gotta vote yes on that. But anyway, it was a young family, you know, little babies who were like, when is that? How many years do we have to wait? Because we're looking forward to it. So anyway, just saying, it's not all that, but it is.
And to add to that response a little bit, if the council tells me your priorities are X, Y, and Z, it doesn't mean we're gonna go out there and do them right now. It's gonna be studies, financial analysis, back and forth with the council. Probably a ton of public process if we're gonna do a community center feasibility study. I mean, what are people willing to pay? How big is this thing? What's in it? Where is it? You know, there's a lot to work to do, but.
And then when there's building of it, who's willing to come in and bid it out and who wants to be here, right? When you're talking about from the other side of it, you know, the private sector side of it, who wants to be part of us and what does that boutique-y style community center look like? So, Council President.
Well, I concur with Councilor Drake here on this community center, but I guess my question is, we've got $26 million in here for a community center. How did we come up with that number?
Yeah, we could have Chris talk a little bit about it. It was in the master plan process.
Scoping it out.
That's the easiest place to look. We just did the master plan to the CIP list and it scopes the property and it scopes the, how much the development of that facility is going to be in there.
And they looked at other communities our size and larger, actually larger.
That's how they recommended, based off of communities our size and larger. So that's how they came up with that estimate.
So, you know, I think this building was $13 million, so we're twice this building.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, are we building the community mahal or what are we, I mean, what are we gonna build?
Well, that was.
You're talking pools and stuff. It's different than, I think.
Was that a pool? I mean, was that taken into consideration?
Taken into consideration, yeah. Everything that was asked of us during that process, the outreach process.
It's just on the high end.
They included everything. So it's potentially high, depending on what the feasibility study says. But you hate to give a number that's, you know, $13 million.
Right.
And knowing that it might be double that, depending on what our community need is.
Sure.
So it's grand, let's say, at this point.
You know, I remember when the YMCA was actually pitching it to us however many years ago. At that point, that was a $20 million community, a YMCA, and that's been
it was 10 years
10
ago.
Years or so. So I don't know what they cost, but I think, I would imagine, that's probably right in there. And then we're just going to have to say, here's what we can afford and here's what we won't build. You know, that's going to be the high end, but I would imagine it's.
But the YMCA was a huge community center, indoor basketball courts,
tennis
courts, swimming pool, indoor track. I mean, it was all of those things.
Right.
And I think, you know, I'm not sure how much of this community values those things, but I think it's pretty high.
Yeah. Just going to be their appetite for prioritizing
and
their dollars.
Yeah.
What's the real appetite when it comes to a price tag?
Right.
I want lots of things until I find out how much it costs.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm all in favor of a community center, but if you tell people if you want to use it, it's $100 every time you come, you're not going to see many people in there.
Right.
Well, that's my point. You know, their appetite will change. You just have to scope it out and see, but I think it's a good planning document to see with all those wants, right?
No, I don't. I don't have a problem putting all this together and saying, yeah, here we go. This is what we'd like to see.
Right. Okay.
So can I transition to the maps and have
I think
go over the projects?
I think it's important to do so. I do want to highlight, I sure hope that in all the years we've been here, at least all the years I've been here, that that super block hits the top of the mark, because it's just not, it's the one of the non-stops that we hear about. And I appreciate the development's going to fill in, but I'd sure like to be able to jumpstart some of that ahead of time, or at least subsidize and support a group like that. But anyway, just priority-wise, I hear it all the time.
I would echo that. We've been talking about the super block for 10 years.
Yeah.
Michael, and you should be able to drive from there too.
Yep. Okay, so Mr. Tuck spoke to the road segment, and so here's 162nd South. I'll just go south to north.
Now, can we make that a little bigger now?
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Look at that.
Thank you.
I didn't want to mess him up, you know.
So, 162nd South Extension. This is the end of it in Terrelon, and there's about almost $900,000 still in the fee in lieu of to be the seed money for this project. And then you have a very expensive bridge crossing Rock Creek, and then you've got some serious topography in this area right in here on a property that's called the Weaver property. And then it comes and goes, and then you're along the schools of the park. And so just to continue this a little bit, we're having pre-application conferences in the next 2 weeks. One of them's for the conversion of the middle school to the high school, and the other one is for 212-unit apartment complex right in here. So you have this kind of scenario where if these projects were to come together, it really could be great timing, development-wise, for the construction of some of the road, some of the right-of-way improvements, as well as cost sharing for all these, you know, very expensive improvements. Might not mean that they're getting built 100% by the school district and or this apartment complex, but at least the traffic impact analyses will all show their proportionate share. This is 100% TSCC creditable, so we have some good selling points there. And everybody, I think, knows how critical that is. But it's really this point from here to here that we're focusing on the most. This section from here to here and putting a signal in here would make the dominoes fall down the highway that's tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. Whereas this one might actually be a little bit more palatable from Rock Creek Boulevard to the north. And the traffic studies are going to show, of course, where the rubber hits the road, but also I think, as Jason alluded to, the community of Happy Valley should have some really serious concerns about Friday night football game getting out and of an elementary school, a high school, a middle school, and a regional park. That's a lot of trips to go one thing, and you might have to add double left here, but you're still stuck, right? You don't have two ways out. Not a good plan. This one, we're going to talk about Rock Creek Boulevard extension to the east, and then it's going to be a focus of this next little presentation. But as you may recall from some of our discussions with potential developers of here, including Bob's Red Mill analyzed the site. It came in way too costly for them. But one of their key comments was the lack of this access. And other folks that have kicked the tires on these lands have said the same thing, right? So it's this little section of Rock Creek Boulevard East could be one of the most important things to consider for potential economic development of these industrial lands. And then we have 172nd, and we have Misty Drive. So here's Misty, as Jason said, going over. You got another very expensive bridge, right? And then going through the right-of-way that's up there at the apartment complex. And then 172nd, we've got, in essence, multiple sections. One section is this 172nd all the way here, and then this 190th connector. And one is this 172nd widening north, which is here to here. And so right now, Multnomah County is analyzing a couple of different designs for roundabouts and signals at 172nd and Foster. So that intersection's in unincorporated Multnomah County. It's supposed to be part of Gresham someday, but Gresham, I just asked Ken Koblitz. Some of you may know him. He was on the Planning Commission for
a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
And he works for the city of Gresham. He's saying, well, that is the plan, but it's not happening anytime soon, right? So Gresham isn't going into that area. We're going to be
coordinating with unincorporated Multnomah County on a project there, and it's going to be fairly expensive, I think. So, looking at at least a minor arterial here, and then this is a major arterial. This is a major arterial, and this is, no, I'm sorry, this is a collector, this is a collector, and this is a collector. So we got three collectors, and basically one, two, three arterials.
The MISTI extension, isn't that being done by the developer?
Well, their development is building a little bit of MISTI, just immediately kind of leapfrogging over this section that you can see if the screens were up right here. And then they've done a fee in lieu for part of the right-of-way that's on the other side. It's a very small amount. For the most part, the project, if it continues to go forward, it's kind of stalled out right now. Then that commercial project, Christilla Commons and the subdivisions to the east will do right-of-way dedication, fee in lieu of, but they're not really building the road because they're not on both sides of it. And they're not going to be single-handedly responsible for that bridge either. I mean, we're talking many millions of dollars on these Rock Creek crossings. This one, that one. Does that answer your question?
It does, but so the developer isn't putting in the bridge or anything?
That's true. They're not. And nor do their developments even come close to causing it to be built, funding it, triggering it, etc. They are, of course, paying transportation SDCs, dedicating right-of-way, making fee in lieu of payments. Okay, so those are the biggies on the roads. Any questions on the roadways? No?
Question?
Okay, so here's a quick presentation. Rock Creek Employment Center lands. Mayor Chavez Dreamer and I went to a group recently, and we talked about this at the NAOIP or
NAO.
Yep.
It's the commercial developers and it's NAO. I can't figure out the acronym.
Commercial development interests, etc. And so we started off with saying, you know, hey everybody, this is the city of Happy Valley. We
kind
of backstory of why it looks like this, right? And we talked about annexation of Western Damascus and how people have done annexation petitions and island, you know, etc. And then, so then here's a quick refresher. Here's the Rock Creek Employment Center in the red, and it's kind of added, it's kind of grown to the east here. So here's the Sunrise property is right in here, and then the a property annex right here, Fairway Nursery, I think, and then this is the GDI lands. And GDI, you may have heard, they sold their business to Columbia?
Columbia, yep.
Yeah, and they're marketing these lands. So we have this whole entire Rock Creek and Employment Center, and you'll eventually here be seeing a letter of support, I hope, for the grant application that the city's sending to Metro for more work in this area. And what's going on right now, besides kind of people coming and looking at lands and kicking the tires on infrastructure requirements, etc., there is, you know, one building that's had a pre-application conference right off of 172nd for a they produce sandwiches. They have all kinds of refrigeration, and they have quite a few employees. I'm going to say 200 employees in a 60,000 square foot building. And so just barely, Rock Creek Employment Center just kind of barely starting to come to the surface as far as its potential for economic development. And one of the tools that we've worked with Clackamas County on, and it's kind of really just a marketing tool, I guess you'd say, are these industrial land profiles. And so it envisions these areas. It identifies areas where there could be assemblage of lands, and then it just makes up some of these following illustrations that show how it might be developed. So, interesting one about this right here, it used to be a different
illustration, but this wedge of land right here was purchased by the Oregon Department of Transportation in long in advance of the Sunrise Phase 2. So this, that's why this section isn't there. It's been purchased for right-of-way. But the rest of the remaining land is envisioned here with development along Rock Creek Boulevard, as well as some industrial development. And then keep, you gotta keep in mind that a lot of these sites are, they're pretty challenging because they're not flat, right? And we'll talk about one of the other sites here pretty soon. Here's the Providence land. Here's the, what is now, looks like it's going to be the middle school. So this industrial land profile is, they all have kind of a fantastic factor built into them, right? They're kind of pretty optimistic about what might happen. Well, this one has been changed quite a bit because before there was, you know, this kind of conceptualization on the Providence land, and then you had the land to the north, and so now reimagine that as a middle school, and we don't really know, of course, what Providence plans are. They've never come forward with a master plan or anything like that. The only thing they've said over the years that has stayed consistent is we're not selling this land. And even recently, people have inquired about the land, and they've said the same thing. We don't have any plan, but we don't plan on selling. So that's about all we know right now for Providence, for sure. Here's another one. This is that site that was saw some interest by Bob's Red Mill and others. And it's really kind of the super site. So if you imagine someone assembling all these lands, and this would be that Rock Creek Employment Center extension is right up here, and it'll show up on the next page. But here's the Sunrise property and some of these intervening lands, and here's the GDI property, and here's another property over here that doesn't have any industrial zoning quite yet. This one neither, but nonetheless, we're saying, keeping our fantastic factor going, right? We're saying, oops. Okay. If you had this, if this super site did go forward, so here's that extension of Rock Creek Boulevard, then you could have quite a bit of capacity in that area. And what's difficult to see from this one-dimensional map is that there's 40 feet of fall between over here and over here, which is kind of one of the cost killers for Bob's Red Mill. But keep in mind, that was a user that only wanted one story, one main story of all flat, and then offices above, I assume. Whereas maybe other users might come in, and it might not be, you know, one developer, but rather multiple developments might work with the land in order for this to stair step down from the northeast to the southwest.
Question.
Yep.
The blue thing in front of the buildings there, is that the pool for the community centers?
Sure, if you like swimming in a stormwater detention. Cold.
Take a shower at the
And so then what we had the consultant do, and this is group, this is
a great place to put a consultant facility park.
Is we said, okay, that's great. We stood on the shoulders of the work that the county had McKenzie do before. We advanced it, kind of rebranded it with Happy Valley logos and the color scheme and everything that we worked with Chelsea, thanks for her help on putting this all together. And then we said, okay, make a composite drawing so that you can see how this Rock Creek Employment Center could, again, keeping the fantastic factor going, what it could theoretically look like. And then what you have to also kind of, I guess, superimpose in your mind is that the Rock Creek Employment Center also is an education and recreation center, which might have some multifamily next to it on some very constrained land that's right here. Right in here. And the buildable area is kind of right in here. This is that Weaver property and some of the adjacent properties. So you could have some multifamily development, then you could have a bunch of institutional, and then you have an arterial, a
105-foot wide major arterial, and then you have all these employment uses of the future. Okay. So, any questions on that? Any questions? No?
Where's the access to the multifamily?
So what's not shown too well here is that there is a road, two roads. One of them is that 162nd Avenue collector.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then there's another collector that comes like this. Gotcha. So there's two access ways of the future.
Okay, thank you.
And then we're transitioning into the super block. And so here's Ridgecrest, and here's that development, which is called Fox Haven Estates on 132nd and Ridgecrest, and this is where the little gap could get filled in. And then, you know, we have various super block projects that would be, that may occur over time for development. You know, the church may develop their corner on 132nd, and the property that's the larger vacant land that's just east of the church could be sold for some kind of development. And then you'd have more infill on the super block. Or, of course, there's always the, you can do a project just like we did with the Safe Routes to School project on 145th and also King Road. And we can always apply for more Safe Routes to School grants as they you know, might become available, and whether you get one or not is kind of luck of the draw to a certain extent. So that's a challenge, of course, with the super block, which is Mayor Dreamer alluded to, has been such a long-term thing, right? There's the continuing challenges of the super block, and how much infill development is there really going to be to take on these projects. And then, of course, there is some. King's Landing on 132nd and King Road, putting in a whole corner's worth. The subdivision that'll be to the west of there, which is called Gateway to Happy Valley, will realign Mount Scott Boulevard a bit, and also put in sidewalks, and then the one on 132nd and Ridgecrest. But other than that, a lot of the other properties are not likely to see subdivisions that are going to build the improvements. And was there one more map?
That was it for maps.
One question.
Yep.
This is all newer to me. So when we're talking the super blocks and sidewalks, are we talking sidewalks on one side of the road or both sides?
Around one side, and it's around the park school area. But it's just the super block and a sidewalk from beginning to end all the way around.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah
Councilor Ellis, Council President Ellis, sorry, Michael.
The subdivision at the corner of 132nd and
Ridgecrest. Yeah.
Is that approved?
Yeah, it's been all through, and it's in construction plan.
What is it scheduled to be, single family or row houses?
How many lots in there?
I want to say there's 30-some. I could be wrong, to tell you the truth. I can look it up.
Oh, maybe it's on our development.
It's probably on the development update.
Yeah.
Let's take a look.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Might be on the map. Yeah. We'll look it up while we're keeping going.
There's so many, it's hard to keep them straight. It's like 2,000 units right now on the development tracking spreadsheet, so. I gotta go to the tables. I can't pull them all out anymore. Used to be able to do that. Yeah, I know. Not now. Okay, so that's it for the maps. Any other questions? Anyone? Okay.
All right, we did add all the funding resources in here, and we can answer any questions you may have, but it's pretty standard stuff you've seen before. It's either taxes or bonds or urban renewal, local improvement districts, fees, all those sorts of things, and something to refer to as we talk about funding sources in the future.
Okay.
So,
yep.
You know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, what are our thoughts? Well, I know that there's a couple comments that we want to make on certain things, but is there anything, I think it's important that we, I would imagine from living here, what we hear, what we see, what our experiences is might be a little bit different, but maybe not, because you guys are all here all the time too and in the community, but there's certain things that pop up in my mind that are priority one, super block, two, 172nd, you had some comments on. So why don't we kind of do that quickly about what stands in your mind, but then, you know, being what's feasible and what's not is not really a good plan because it's all wants, and then it's hard, so hard to determine the scope or where we start, but can we start from there? I'll let you go first, Council President, because you wanted to talk about 172nd, yeah. So.
Okay, this is kind of a...
And can I interrupt? Were you talking about the north extension or all of it or a certain area? Okay.
Well, pretty much. But,
okay, I just wanted to...
For a while, I've been thinking about how we do roads and developments, and kind of looked into some stuff. There's a lot of places in the country that do the roads improvements before they do development, which to me is the way to go if you can figure out how to fund it, I guess is the thing. So I've talked to the mayor briefly, and I've talked to Jason, I've talked to Michael, and I may have mentioned this to some people. I think the city needs to explore some options on 172nd specifically. And I'm talking from Sunnyside Road at least to the county line. I know we're not in the road building business, but I think in this case we need to be. I think the city needs to look in to figure out if there's a funding source that we could fund this and we could do it ourselves, and then as development comes in, they pay us back. And part of the reason for that is the way it's scheduled to be improved right now is as development comes in, they improve their section of it, and that's how it gets developed. Now, let's take Sunnyside Road, for example. If Sunnyside Road was developed that way, there would still be areas of Sunnyside Road that were one lane each way. Can you imagine what a nightmare that would be as far as traffic goes? I just don't think that's a feasible plan for something that's going to be such a major corridor in Happy Valley. Now, pretty much everybody I've talked to thinks it's a pretty good idea if we can figure out the funding source and how to make it all happen. I even talked to Matt Grady from Graymore about it one day. We were talking about something else, and I mentioned my idea to him, and he was speechless. He thought that was just the most wonderful idea he had ever heard, because...
Well, yeah, thanks.
Well, but in reality, these developers, they don't want to be in the road building business. That's not what they do. They don't want to improve those roads. And Matt even told me, he said, we would love that. Just make it happen and we'll pay you. So we don't have to deal with it. They just come in, they do their development. They don't have to worry about the roads. They're already there, you know, and it's ready to go. And I think this should be a priority. And I think it should be one of the top priorities. Now, I'm not grouping this together with the community center. This is a whole separate deal. But I think that our staff should look into the funding options for this. I think Michael told me one time that the state sometimes will loan you money to do this. They have the money to do it. It's just figuring out how we would get the money back and be able to fund it. Like I said, as development comes in, they would pay us back. And in this case, if we build it, I think they'll come. If you have a brand new road from here to the county line all ready to go, I think they'd be beating the doors down to get here. And so for me, in this situation, I think this needs to be a priority. And I just wanted to throw that out to everybody that, I mean, you know, I've got 3 years left of my term. I'd love to see that road be built by, or in the construction process by the time I'm done. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out.
Yep. Okay.
So we can fund it with a road fee?
I don't know. You know, I mean, this is...
Well, one of the funding sources we have is SDC.
Right.
And yeah. We're starting with a balance. It's not like we're starting from zero. We have the refund that we were given from
county
SDCs that were generated here. So we're sitting on close to $5 million.
Right.
Well, so that's a good start.
The other thing I think about is 172nd, they built that, you know, this section over here not that long ago, and I think you told me it's already paid off.
Mm-hmm.
So SDCs has already paid off. I don't know how many million dollars it was, but so in a fairly short time, that section of roadway is paid for.
Which section are you talking about?
From Sunnyside to the south.
To 212.
Oh, so you were talking about Clackamas Line. Sorry.
No, 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 I'm talking from here to the Multnomah County line.
Multnomah County line, right.
But what I'm saying is this section has already been paved.
No, but I'm talking about, you were talking about to the north, the extension to the north.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'm like, you're talking about, oh, okay, you meant to the north, that's fine.
I'm talking, that's what we need to do is from here to the Multnomah County line at least.
The extension portion that you have, is the 2.8 million, Michael, is that whole red line from Sunnyside, up?
The small amount of money is just for that.
Tell me.
Hold on, Michael, different spreadsheet, sorry, can you let me drive for a second? I will pull it back up.
So the small amount of dollars is this section here.
The 2.8.
Yeah, and then the much more expensive is from.
The 19.
Here all the way down.
Yeah, 20, 20.
I'm talking mainly from where those two roads come together up to the north there, Michael.
Right there.
To Sunnyside Road.
Yeah, down, the $19 million.
Right, that's what I'm talking
about. So that might not even be $19 million if.
You left off
if
that.
If the $19 million goes all the way over to 190th.
Right.
See, I thought this was going to cost a lot more money than we're talking here right now, but
well,
this might be more doable than I actually realize.
They're just estimates. Keep in mind.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
The,
but
the bridge at Troge has never really been fully explored.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing to keep in mind is utilities. Utilities.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there would be some issues with this. It's going to happen sooner or later. In my opinion, it should be happening sooner, and I think we need to be the driving force behind it.
FYI, I was way off. It's only 19 lots.
Oh.
Gateway to Happy Valley. Okay. I mean, Fox Haven Estates on 132nd Ridge Crest.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so comments on priority, what we're thinking. You know, we're going to have to tie what I want to make sure that what we're thinking about is broader picture, right? So economic development and all that kind of stuff is what we're talking about. And now we've been talking about the Rock Creek employment area, which is to the south, and how important that is when we're seeing that industrial area, what's going to happen out there in the employment area, and how we want to possibly fund where Bob's Red Mill was for jobs, because north is not an industrial area until you get to the top where we kind of talked about that could be out, because the rest is just housing, am I correct, all the way? So a little bit different in that we're servicing, but we're not getting a return by putting roads in where people will want to come put jobs. Not that it's good or bad. It's just anyway, comments.
And then also as we're kind of talking about specific projects, the funding source is also important. So when we're talking about 172nd Avenue North, Your funding opportunities are SDCs, local improvement districts, urban renewals. When we're talking about a public works facility, none of those funding sources work for a public works facility. So we're going to have to come up with some other money, which is a general fund or general obligation bond or a fee or something.
Sure.
So just keep that in mind as you're thinking about the projects.
Okay. So comments on Tom's thoughts? Yes, no, maybe, yeah, don't like, don't care.
No, I think it is a good idea. I think it's a good idea for all these. I mean, what I've heard, though, the Rock, and I agree with what Tom's saying, but the Rock Creek extension is 2.8 million. You've already had people kind of, I think, turn away from the industrial land development because that isn't done. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's one of the factors, yeah.
So, I mean, that's something to also consider, but I think these roads all need to be done. I think we could apply to the state at least for 172nd Avenue, I would think. And I don't know if the county would be willing to fund any of that or not, because it's in.
I think the county has stepped away from developing any urban facilities within cities.
Okay.
That's what they told us. And that's why I think they were very happy to split off our joint TSDC program.
I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, well, with a common theme, I guess, for the night, but there is a max on how much the state can loan for these types of projects.
Well, I mean, they did Sunnyside Road.
That was a mixture of funds.
Mixture, I know.
That was state, SDCs, county,
developers,
general fund.
All the developers on both sides in this section. Paying millions into the,
But just to clarify, we'd have to look up what the max is that you can borrow, but there is a fairly narrow ceiling or short ceiling on how much money that you can get from that particular state fund.
Per project?
I'd have to do more research.
Because if it's per project, you break it up into 10 projects.
But if we're borrowing money, we got to be able to pay it back.
Right.
So what revenue source are we going to have to pay that back? And so I think we need, I mean, if this is a general concept that the council likes, we need to do a lot more work on our side to figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I would agree that, you know, without saying I would put 172nd at the top of my list, if I broke it up into four quartiles, it would be in the top. You know, it would be in the top quartile. It would definitely be. I do think I would agree that, you know, something like a Rock Creek Boulevard extension, you've got it as a priority two out 3 to 5 years. I would probably move that into the top, you know, priority context as well, because it is a much more manageable number, can have a direct impact on job creation in the area. You know, is already connected to the South 172nd exit, so I think there's some positive there. I think between 172nd and 162nd, I would agree with the prioritization that 172nd comes first before the 167 second mode. And I also agree with the mayor, you know, to kind of jump around on the list, completing the sidewalks in the super block would be a very visible project in Happy Valley that was something that's been talked about for a long time and is also a pretty manageable number from an overall perspective. So those would be things I would certainly consider with this.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see you guys have broken these up into the options that we can look at, and we see that we're going to continue with SDCs on a fairly healthy level at some point. It might go up and down a little bit, but it is a place. The local improvement districts, which we've had, one since we've been around, and one, that was the 152nd road, was the local improvement district, which was a great project, and I don't remember getting much negative feedback. People wanted that extension through there. There might have been a handful.
I think it was because the people wanted to develop. The property owners wanted to develop, and they didn't want to be responsible for doing the road themselves, so the local improvement district worked, but there may have been a couple people that were not
thrilled about
it.
Could you just give me the 2-second rundown? How does that work? I mean, as far as when you create an improvement district like that, so you've got a dollar amount that gets spread out among, is it residential assessed value?
A zone of benefit.
Okay.
So you put a boundary on it, say these properties are going to benefit from this improvement, and that's assessment that goes on the property, and then they pay for
and
it.
And they pay it over time.
Yeah,
okay.
Over time.
And is that
just those properties in that zone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a targeted investment strategy for specific improvement.
Vote of the residents or city?
No, it's the property owners, but it's in the future, so they subdivide, right? So they.
Yeah. So sometimes we get waivers. They cannot remonstrate against the formation of a local improvement district, so we do that on all of our annexations, just to get that. But they do, I think they have to join. They have to.
Well, that
I wasn't part of
on 152nd when that was set up. There was a lot less property owners at the time, so it was an easy setup of an LID. And then as they developed and like into the houses that came down there. Then those people were like, oh, I'm buying, and it was just part of their.
They didn't even know.
No, you know, they
when
buy
the
house, and then it's
sold,
part of it, and then it went, but it was, they knew it was an LID, and it was
okay.
Part of having that benefit of exiting that way instead of going through the city, and it was just the new road.
I don't even think the property owner, the people that bought the subdivided properties pay it. It's the property owner that when they sell the property, that assessment gets paid automatically.
Okay, just kind of curious how, you know, something to the extent of 172nd, which is a large amount of property, a lot of empty property where there's not a lot of assessed value there, and it also impacts, you know, would benefit a lot of the surrounding areas as well, so
yeah, and curious. It's not assessed value based.
It's not, okay. Oh,
from my understanding.
Gotcha, okay. All right.
And then the urban renewal concept, which we haven't really addressed and or talked about, but you know, you can often consider it. And I'm not sure who we have to get the approval from now. I think the county.
All taxing jurisdictions you have to get approval from.
Go ahead.
Sorry, you don't have to have approval from all of them. It's a percentage of their, what they make up of the total tax percentage.
Percentage. And I only experienced this with, because I watched Wilsonville go through it and be turned down. No, did they get approved?
No, they received approval, but the county was turning them down at the time.
Yeah.
Because the leaders in charge were.
At that time, didn't believe in urban renewal districts.
But they still had enough of the yes votes from the districts to allow it to happen.
Yeah.
Milwaukee just established one.
Yeah. Go ahead.
These urban renewal districts we're talking about here, for quite a while, were very common. They were all over the place.
They were a good tool.
And then all of a sudden, they got a bad rap. Some people didn't like them.
Well, they were abused, and they should have gotten a bad rap.
And right, and they got a bad rap. And so now you've got some groups of people that would probably fight against them to a certain extent. I think maybe they're maybe coming back in favor a little bit, but
The problem is that there was no tool to replace it. It was like they took one out, and it's hard to find. You know, you hate to get rid of any funding sources if it works in your community, and it becomes a party issue as opposed in a taxing district versus
and
a
then,
not. But.
And then people said that it took away property taxes from this to and put it to somewhere else, and so this area lost, this area gained, and. So.
And there's also limitations on how much value of land you can put in an urban renewal district compared to your total assessed value. We're going to hear concerns from the fire district. They're not insurmountable, and we can work around it. I think our best tool for an urban renewal would be for the creation of a downtown.
Right.
There's been conversation of we need a sense of place here somewhere. Urban renewal is the perfect tool to do that because we can create it. We can create it out of bare ground or a Carver area. You put an urban renewal down there and you build some parking structures and buy some properties and sell to developers and get that core of development that you would typically see in a downtown. So I'd almost say you reserve your urban renewal power to some very dedicated, specific areas.
Sure. Yeah. General fund, gas tax, those kind of things that we're talking about. So let's just say no, and Jason asked the question, or whoever wrote this asked the question, but if we had all the money in the world, as you mentioned, how would we prioritize these? And then who do we lop off when we realize we don't have all the money in the world?
And from a perspective of staff has to do this work, we can only do so much work. So how would you prioritize? Do you want us to
spend
our
time
in the next year on which projects?
Mm-hmm. Counselor?
So we've got roads and then we've got parks.
Yep, that's what Counselor Drake was talking about.
And they're funded differently, right? I mean,
different funding sources.
Different money, different. I've talked to Jason about a quick, easy win for parks. We're going to pass the parks levy. I mean, it looks that we're going to pass it. I, for one, have been asking for turf fields because I think that it is something that we can do quickly. I think it's very visible. I think that the community is going to want to see something visible. And so for me to see the priority one on that with the 0 to 2 years, I am in full support of that.
Okay.
I think that we need to have a very early on win after we pass this levy.
Okay.
And I would support that. I think that would be a good thing to do. Something visible to the community. It's something that we could do, the turf field in Happy Valley Ballpark that we've been talking about forever.
Well, and it goes directly to why we left.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's
we don't want to start doing four different projects than we just fought for. probably not a good idea, considering those are the ones that we're fighting for. I think it's important to recognize that.
Mm-hmm. But I'd also like to see the staff look at that super block sidewalks, because like you said, Jason, that developer's going to do part of that. So we're really only talking a little pieces of that, King Road, and it's not that much left.
Sure.
And so if we could dedicate some money to that and at least make a huge chunk of that go away, that'd be great. We're also looking at school safety. I mean, that was one of the other things we talked about, a safe place for kids to walk along King Road there, because there really isn't. So I think I would like to, the safety of our children, I'd like to move that up.
One other question as it relates to the super block. Does that also include bicycle lanes, or is the sidewalk the bicycle lane?
We would, I'm just assuming here, but we'd put the sidewalk in the ultimate location, and it would include a bike lane.
A shoulder, yeah. Like, is pretty standard. Okay. I for one, also fully support the super block. I think that, again, it's something that's not an astronomical price tag, but it has been needed for a very, very long time in our community.
You know, another thing we talked about, which you don't really have it broken up here, I mean, I can kind of go through it, is quadrants of a city. You know, we're asking people to put their tax dollars in, and we're talking, you know, residents to the west.
Right.
None of this is there. So I want to make sure that we pay attention to all of the city when we're doing this. We're getting bigger. You know, obviously this is the growth area where we get the tax dollars, but I do think it's important to try to say, you know, what is up in the, you know, which corner, which quadrant. And if we could break that up and put some stuff, I think, in those areas where we can identify something, because it's easy for us to say, put it all here, and, oh yeah, we forgot to recognize over there, or it's somewhere, or whatever that means. And we're not sure what it's going to look like with the existing parks through this other process that we're going through, and I just want to make sure that we're paying attention to all of the city and I don't even know how much improvement can be done in those areas to the west, but either way, I don't want to leave off
you know, if they're trail opportunities or
just
anything like
that. I just
that,
think it's important to pay attention to
key
all of
sidewalk
the
connections that we can make. I mean, we are limited in funds with
yeah.
the with the PIP Grove. Fund, Pedestrian Improvement Project
mm-hmm.
Fund. A big portion of it's going to go to the 129th curves, and I think that's priority number one. We need to leverage our local dollars with that grant money.
Sure.
But whatever's left over, I think we can look for opportunities in the super block, but you can pretty much guess that that fund goes to zero
right.
immediately. So then we're not building any sidewalks anywhere else in the city.
Counselor.
Just to look at, I mean, when we talk about projects that we could at least put on the list or at least be looking at, I know we don't have funding, but you talk about road safety, Eidelman Road, there's a sidewalk and bike lanes partway up, but then that goes up there through those curves. There's no place to even hardly walk safely there. And so something, you know, at some point, if we could put some bike lanes there, some sort of walking path at least bikes and pedestrians could use, would be nice.
Well, I wouldn't disagree necessarily, although that would be quite expensive, but one of the questions that we came up with the, and you'll hear from the engineers on the 122nd and 129th curves, and while we were applying for it, is, you know, putting bike lanes is attracting people to walk there and get hit by the cars. Are they gonna, you know, we don't think about that, but do we really want to put more people walking on Eidelman when it's dangerous already? And you tend to attract people if there's not enough right away to purchase and or stripe, and you're going to put a 6-inch to get it kind of where they're like, oh, I'm walking and a car's, you know, flying by me. We tend to attract more danger by just saying it's just really not a great road to be doing that because we don't have enough money to fix it to where it's safe as well. So I do get concerned sometimes on country roads to attract more people when it's unsafe.
Now the problem with Eidelman Road there's that section, the other section coming up, is bicyclists use it.
I don't doubt it.
They have a challenge. I don't know what the name of it is. Some bicyclists
yeah.
do. They go to the top of Mount Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do that no matter what. And when I go down that, you know, Eidelman Road down there, I mean, you're trying to sometimes swerve around the bicyclist or stop. Some of the cars coming. So they're using it no matter what we do.
But that's goes. To my point. They use it no matter what. We put a stripe lane, then you got a mom walking. You know, I don't want it to be like, here's this fabulous bike lane that's 6 inches wide and they thought they could use it and we're competing one medium to the other, and it stresses me out about
yeah,
attracting people.
I understand. We we know the concern up there. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, to do it right, we're talking multi-millions of dollars to do it. That's a whole, that's a whole different conversation. And I, you know, I think we can maybe look for opportunities if there's, you know, shoulder widening and, you know, safe off-road paths or something we could maybe look at. But also, I don't want to promise people that we're working on something and then we get a $5 million bill or, you know, need out there and we don't have a way to pay for it.
But when you're looking at quadrants and you're looking at Western Happy Valley,
that's one to...
That's one area to kind of look at.
Right.
To consider.
Can I ask a naive question?
We can't promise we won't make fun of you.
That's fine. I have thick skin, so I don't really care. So you said, Tom, that our typical, the way our city has handled roadway improvements is to allow the developer to do it. And that other places are building the roads. If you build it, they will come type mentality. So I guess my naive question is, when a developer builds out a roadway improvement, are they paying prevailing wage rates for those roadway improvements? Whereas if the city builds it, we would be paying prevailing wage. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, it's a government project, so we
have to. So we're talking substantial increases, I would assume, in the cost to build the roads if we build it versus the developers.
My understanding is, and you all can, if they're building a road that's for the public, the city, they have to pay prevailing wage.
I think so, but I'm not certain.
Is that correct?
It depends on where the funding comes from, I guess, ultimately. If any government funding is used for the project, then that triggers that fund.
But even an SDC credit would be considered a government funding, I believe. You'll have to look into it, but I'm pretty sure they have to pay prevailing.
I guess I would, before I say, yeah, let's make 172nd a huge priority, I would like to know, is there, are we incurring a lot more expense than if we had the developer do it, especially given the fact that the majority of that's all residential?
But in my opinion, the difference is, it's going to take, say it takes 20 years for 172nd to develop. I don't think it'd take that long. But if it did take 20 years, you're going to have areas that are only one lane each way. Can you imagine Sunnyside Road right now? I mean, it's just, in my opinion, it doesn't work.
We can get that answer to the prevailing.
Right. I mean, I think we need to think outside the box.
I'm not arguing that.
No,
I just want to understand the cost impact.
And I think that's one of the questions then is, if we move this to the top of the priority list, what does that mean? So, you know, are you able to kind of do studies on that? How do we kind of figure out, okay, what's the cost going to be? What would be the process?
But I, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And then I...
I didn't catch that, I'm sorry.
So you know, so if we did move 172nd to the top of the priority list, we'd say, okay, let's you know, what's the process for that? So we're taking a look at, we're doing kind of studies on it, we're trying to determine, you know, how you would fund that ultimately. You know, do we have any issues? So are bonds subject to compression? Does that limit other resources at all?
Bonds
nope.
Are outside.
Bonds are outside, okay.
But it would be a revenue bond, it wouldn't be a,
would be a GO?
Tax bond anyways.
Okay.
Unless you wanted to do a GO bond for a project, but I...
But probably not.
You know, when it comes to 172nd, what at the present time, what I'm asking for is for staff to look in to see how it could be funded,
mm-hmm.
and how it would work.
How we can do it differently.
How
or is there a possibility?
Is there a possibility? I'm not looking to start planning tomorrow. All I'd like everybody to do is, okay, what is our options on this? Is it feasible? If it's not feasible, then we knock it off the table.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm looking for is a feasibility study.
Sure.
And I'm in favor of a feasibility study on the community center, too. I think that's something that needs to be looked at.
Well, so, by the way, I didn't see this quadrant-based question here at the bottom.
Oh,
like, oh, look at that.
Should we consider geographic-based targeted improvements throughout the city?
That's a good idea.
Oh, great idea, Mayor.
I was like, look at that. I think just like...
Well, actually, you did tell me, and that's why I put it
on.
Oh,
I was like, oh, I didn't read these questions. Anyway, okay, back to... Now, quick question. Is there anything on here we're not, we don't have on here that you, that we missed or that they?
Well, we haven't talked about it, but a big one is public works facility.
Well, it's on here. I'm talking about on this list.
Not on the list.
I don't think so. I'm trying to.
I mean, it's further out, but a library expansion, library, but that's, I think.
So I want to kind of go through then and say, okay, community centers, parks, tourist fields, parks. And besides the two community parks, I'd like to lop that right off of there and let the neighborhood parks, let the development take up. I would like to see that we push to that direction with credits, if it's okay with you guys. Okay. So is that okay?
Yeah.
That's direction. Okay, so that leaves the two remaining park things, which is community center and turf fields. Turf fields, we can see, we do think it's an easy win. It is one of the four things, and it might be obviously prior, top of the priority, because the community center is obviously a large, much larger project. But it is worth the feasibility study, because that's what the funds
right.
is going to pay for, and it's what SDCs are going to. So that's, they're not even, but they're pretty, I mean, this is lop off, and that one's get started on. So we're done with parks. Then we're talking about your community policing center, which is a time issue, as you're telling us. Over time, we know that. I don't think it's tomorrow. I'm not even sure if it's 18, but it's something that's for your departments to be. You know it's coming. We have to keep it on the burner for you guys. Lock that off. Public works facility. We also know we're running out of space for that. We know as we take on parks, we're going to need expanding space. We've got funding that we're starting to set aside to buy some land. We're still looking at that. We've done some of the work. I would imagine you guys are still on that. As far as priority, again, our direction is we're asking you to do parks and we're asking you to do roads, so I can't imagine you don't need public works. I don't know how to prioritize and say do that tomorrow, because you're going to have to go buy the land and then tell us, hey, it's so expensive we can't do it and then we got to survive. I don't know. But are you guys still studying that?
Yeah, we received the appraisal for the one property we were looking at that could be used for a multitude of
things.
Things.
Tell me again.
We'll talk
property
later on King.
King.
Okay. So it is a priority because we can't have all these other things without public works supporting it. I don't know how to. It's in conjunction with. It's just at what cost, and then we'll have to just decide how we.
And we also have a number of other sites we've looked at too. We probably have one.
So it is already ongoing, but I just don't know how you provide the services that we do think are a priority without having that on also kind of working its way next to it, parallel. So I don't know if I can say, yeah, go spend your $15 million and buy it tomorrow, but I think it's probably something you have to keep working on is my point. I'm not saying $15 million.
Yeah, we need to come back to the council with, we have a number of properties we looked at, pro cons, sort of reasonable comfort level with the value of the property, and so we need to come back to you and say, okay, here's from over on King Road out to, you know, out east.
Sure.
And here's the different costs and different issues with all of them.
Okay.
So
street maintenance, I think we're good. We've got our funding sources of what we can do. I'm not so sure we're interested in going out for a street maintenance fee.
Can
so
I add to that? We're not good, but we're.
I didn't say we're.
Oh.
I meant what we were is we're good for now because we have some new sources of funding. And while we know it's in the forefront, because as we add more streets, we have more maintenance to do, right? And as we build, we're going to need more maintenance. And over time, again, as the only city who doesn't have a permanent funding source, it's nonsense. It will have to get done on somebody's watch. But I think we're going to have to just kind of watch these,
mm-hmm.
What we've received, and see how it plays out over time. Okay,
yep.
That's gone. And then the extensions, right? All street builds. That's the bulk of your. Now, I haven't talked about the remaining sidewalks yet, but that's the bulk of what we're talking about. Rock Creek and 172nd have risen, it looks like. Misty, we know cause it's right here, but can that still be done the good old-fashioned way out of development? Probably a good old-fashioned way. Old-fashioned way. The other way.
The
old way.
Yeah.
I don't know. But is there somebody coming in there that's pressing us for development yet? So
this one, as you see, I prioritized it lower. We're not getting pressure to extend the road.
Yeah.
I think
it's a longer-term project that is going to be would have to be a city project. There's not enough development potential
that can be there.
In between, there's a huge gap in Rock Creek there with the bridge.
Yeah.
It's already developed on the other side. I mean, it's going to have to be our project. And the pressure to get that done will probably be when Sunnyside gets a little more congested and people want another parallel route. So it's a ways out though.
Okay. So, you know, obviously the number one, which is what Tom was referring to, I think we're all in agreement that if we can look at a study, is there some work to be done? Can there be a different way? Okay. And then the number two is the Rock Creek. Looked like it rose a little bit above the 162nd because it's a lot cheaper to do. And we see that it's already triggering some maybe hesitation if they don't want to see it. So I think that could rise to probably a little higher than the 162nd. And as far as sources go, our SDCs, like I said, we haven't really talked about an LID, but you know, maybe that is a possibility when we're talking about who's in that area and what it could fund. We could look at that.
Okay.
Okay. And then the last thing, it is the last thing, is your remaining sidewalks in the city. $25 million, right? I mean, that is a giant number. But it's something that's always going to be done over time. It's never the project and get it done in 2 years. It's never ending. I think you're doing your study, you said, on what the roads look like. We'll give us a better number.
Sidewalks.
But that's something that all of us counselors talked about. Instead of a street maintenance fee, we talked about a sidewalk fee for safety. And is there a funding source for that that frees up another way? And again, I think that that's got to be, you know, I guess that speaks to the whole community as far as quadrants go. It makes everybody feel happy about sidewalks everywhere. But, you know, what can we do? Mr. Bryant?
Well, one thing I'll add here, too, is on the funding sources, something that the city of Milwaukee just did is they passed what they call their SAFE fee, pedestrian fee, and then what they're doing is they're bonding against that so that they can do essentially, I want to say, $20-ish million worth of projects right away in the first couple of years, and then they won't do anything for a while, and then they'll just use those revenues to pay back those bonds. That means they've got interest costs, but it's a way to do a quick...
Mm-hmm. Well...
I want to go back to 162nd here for a second.
Okay.
The school district's over there, and you're talking about one way in and one way out is not a good idea. How much does the school district have to, or how much can we make them do in improvements? I mean, I'm wondering if they're triggering all this.
I'll let Michael fill in.
Well, they're going to say
they're
we're
probably
triggering
not going
it.
To trigger the entire improvement.
No,
I'm imagining they're going to have to pay a fee in lieu of similar to what Terralon did. I don't know the amount, but I would imagine there would be some sort of contribution to that. And then if the apartment complex development goes forward, which is north of the park. There would be an opportunity for right-of-way dedication and some access improvements in there. So there's some things that could kind of move this in a quicker priority if they all lined up.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering, because you're saying that the fire department's a little skeptical of this and we're a little skeptical of this. I'm just wondering how much of this can be brought forward to the table and kind of make them move forward.
Well, I think there's two answers. One is the proportionate share of the cost that your trip generation is going to make happen, right? And so the developer, which in this case is the school district, but could be developer X down there, is having to put together a proportionate share of a cost that we don't actually even really know because the bridge hasn't been studied. But you can get an estimate, and then you have your proportionate share. And then you've taken this, you've got one pile of money from Terralon, and you get another pile of money from the school district, and you get another pile of money from the multifamily development and little things here and there, and the middle school and et cetera. And then you can get to the point where you say, okay, the city has enough monies to pursue one of these other options to finance the improvement.
bonding, right? LID, or I'm sorry, borrow money. You can also do an LID. And all these things can come together in order to build the facility, right? In a relatively short amount of time. And you have to kind of live with the gap in time. And they're not building it for 3 years, et cetera, et cetera. And you try to get there that way, by bringing that all together. And then the other answer is, well, you do have the ability for there to be a lot of, let's call it political pressure on that very large institutional development of saying, you guys realize that this is kind of a no-go if we can't make this happen because it's unsafe, basically.
Right.
Right? So.
Question. When you talk about this 162nd improvement, you're talking about the bridge and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Can't you just go out to 212 and make a traffic improvement of 212 and 162nd?
Not without. I don't know for sure because I'm not a traffic engineer, but I don't think you can just drop a signal in at 212 and 162nd, no. Okay. Because there's not enough site visibility in those climbing lanes.
Well, I mean, what I'm talking about is though they can egress and ingress through 162nd to 212. So that's the second way out.
That I do not think that is a viable second layout, no.
It's a gravel road.
Well, it's a gravel road now, but you can improve it. What I'm saying is you don't have to improve all 162nd. You can improve the portion of 212, which gives you a second ingress and egress route, if you will.
Emergency access only or something?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, because when you're talking about going across the Rock Creek, you're talking about this millions of dollars for a bridge. That's very expensive, the topography there. So I'm just looking at something simpler that could...
Yeah, I don't think it exists to the south myself, but I think it's equally just as expensive to make the south work because you've got to fix the highway to actually have a real access.
Right.
So it's still millions and millions of dollars whether you go north or south, one or the other. And, I don't have a definitive answer on which one costs more at this point, but they're both very expensive. And then another quick point about one of your discussion items, just to tell a very brief story, is that we've gone to these gatherings of infrastructure finance folks, and then they always have guest speakers, and a lot of times the guest speakers have been the folks from Hillsborough and Washington County. And even though they're a whole different scenario because they bring in such huge amounts of revenue from all the employment, right? So they're really not ever going to be apples to apples. But what their folks consistently say is that, guess what? When it comes to these infrastructure financing conundrums, and that's an area over there where you actually can drive and go see the already built roads before with vacant land around them, is that you have to have a combo deal of all these infrastructure mechanisms for it to work. You're gonna have to have an LID mm-hmm. married to SDCs, maybe a TSDC overlay, LIDs, renewal districts, right? There isn't any
one
solution.
Right.
You've got to get the five things in order to make any of these things work, right? So,
Washington County also has that transportation.
Yeah, they have another tool in the toolbox that we don't even have, which makes it even more important to have as many tools as you can come into the equation.
I'm not at all opposed to whatever it takes, as long as it makes financial sense, obviously. But
yeah.
If it takes five different ways to get the money to do a project, then so be it.
Yeah. But I think what you're saying, and I think it's important why you get the raised eyebrows from a developer, is that you're willing to have the conversation and not just, hey, when you come in, do it. And I think that's the key, right? That we can sit down and say, here, how about this, and how about we cobble this and cobble that, and we'll do what we can, and you'll do what you can, but let's do
right.
it together rather right. than what we've been doing. So.
I honestly believe that a lot of the developers would probably be willing to pay a little bit more just because they don't have to be a road builder.
But that's my point.
It's easier for them.
It's the conversation
right.
of, hey, we're willing to be on your team. Yeah. Okay. Jason?
Can we go to Public Works Facility?
Yeah.
So we currently have $1.5 million in the Capital Improvement Project Fund
mm-hmm.
That's in the budget this year.
we're anticipating with the development of this coming up budget that we're gonna have another 1.5 that we'll be able to put in there. Am I correct to assume that we are potentially targeting that money for property for a public works facility?
Yeah, I wasn't saying it's not the priority. What I'm saying is, aren't you working on that? Because I don't know how it can't be in conjunction if we're gonna be providing the parks and all this road maintenance, which we do think is a priority. How do you do that without a working public works facility? I don't know where that land is. I wouldn't be able to tell you where the best part of it is in a working day. I don't expect, but I think that's where we were leaning a year ago, year and a half, 2 years ago. We were just trying to find the best place and the most reasonable, but.
Okay, good, because I was just confirming we're not talking about using that money for street projects, and then we don't have any money for public works, and then I'm looking for another funding source.
No, I don't think so. Does anybody else have comments on that?
Oh, just a question. So when you talk about public works facility, you're talking about, of course, the acquisition of land is expensive. When you look at the facilities that you're actually putting on that for public works, is that a lot of money? You're talking about 500,000, a million?
$8.5 million for land and improvements is what we've scoped.
So I mean, how much for the buildings and things like that?
It's the difference between $2 million and the 8.5.
Yeah.
Six and a half.
So you're talking $5 million for the buildings?
Yeah.
Buildings?
Office, shops.
Grading.
Grading, site improvements, utility, extensions.
Getting to the site. I mean, I think about that. The Bob's Red Mill site. I mean, the reason that they didn't come here, you know, compared to other ones, is we were an extra $20 million. That's a lot of money. And I'm thinking, oh my God. You know, but you're talking about where we are, right? The topography, unless you go out and get some flat land to do this with, I don't know. But anyway, I don't pretend to know, but I do know that the land is going to be the key, though, right? To securing it now before it's already expensive, so. I'm not sure it's going down or up or whatever it is, but you're not building that tomorrow. We'll just be landowners for a bit of time, and for some reason it didn't work out. We own some land to sell or move forward with, but I don't think we're going to go wrong with purchasing land, but we better get something ready to go and sell it if we have to. Are we on board?
You use City Hall as an example. Where was it originally supposed to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Not here.
Exactly. So any questions on that? No, I think that's where we were headed. I just thought it was moving along with food. So.
That's all I had.
I think that's all I have. I think we kind of went through these groups. I think you guys know that we needed $144 million.
It's only $4 per thousand.
I will tell you, that's nothing compared to. I was talking to, I don't know, it was probably you, at my mayor's conference, and the mayor of in New York, in upstate New York, it's a friend of mine, and their tax per thousand is $32 per thousand.
Where is this?
It's in upstate New York, in a small community. They are in debt up to 80% of their, and they put all these facility grant, and he's like, the people are just used to having all these grades up in there. I'm like, we have no debt, and we're only 67 cents per thousand. He was like, come on, don't even talk to me. We couldn't even have a conversation without laughing.
That's fiscal irresponsibility.
That's what the people wanted. They didn't have a problem with it because they weren't wasting money. What I'm saying, but they were building things, they wanted, and they wanted to spend. But it's New York. I mean, the cost of the living isn't that, but 30. Anyway,
that's a lot of money.
Probably a little different structure than we have and all that, but it was, he laughed and I laughed, and we were like, wow, this is amazing.
So $4 per thousand.
Look,
nothing, yeah.
Yeah, they would just do it.
It's only a fourth of the total tax bill. Right? Yeah.
Well, you know, if you do $4 for, I'm not saying to do it, but when we're thinking about, what are we at, 8 something now? Total?
880
or something like that? And Portland's, what, 20, 19 or 22 or something? total.
Total in Happy Valley is $16-17.
We're totally Happy Valley. What is Portland?
18-19.
Oh, really? Not much different.
So we're pretty close.
Total.
That's what you're saying. Total.
With school.
Are you sure?
With school.
With schools and the school bonds, once you factor, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think we were all of that. Anyway, but when I think of other cities that are around the suburb, we're not much different. I mean, our schools really are the biggest.
Schools are 50% of your tax bill.
Driver. You know, people think it's a city, but if they look at what they vote in every single year with no problem, that's where their tax rate's coming from. So, anyway, well, that's what they want. Good schools, or good buildings. They have good buildings. Okay, anything else, you guys? Was there anything? Were you sending an email? Were you saying you wanted to talk about something at work session? Was that today?
We could do it today. Just about the sewer update thing, real quickly.
Yeah, 5 minutes, or
and
two.
Less than 2 minutes. they're in consensus what the cities want to do. We talked about that in the meeting. We talked mainly about what the cost was, who was paying for it, and the county is going to pay the initial upfront cost. That upfront cost is just for consensus. They're out of PSU. They do an assessment of whether the consensus would work. So they interview people from the cities, the county, and basically they're all saying, would you agree on the discussion of governance? And if the county and everybody says yes, then they go forward with this consensus process. The main thing is how they're going to charge for that, because the cities are thinking the only people that need to be at the table to talk about this is the elected people from the county and the cities. We can sit down and work this out. And the county is saying, well, they want all these stakeholders involved, and so kind of pushback from the cities is going to be, you can ask whatever stakeholders you want, but you're paying for those stakeholders. If you're going to interview 20 people, you're paying for that, not us. So that's kind of the next iteration of the meeting will be, who's paying for what and what exactly those costs are going to be.
So if we went back to them and said, okay, we'll pay our portion, take it out, use our rates that our residents are paying you, to pay for it, they probably won't go with that.
I mean, they are talking about, initially this person said it could cost over $20,000 or even more for this whole process, and it's like, that's a lot of money, which you split between five cities and county. If they did by proportional cost, of course, we're the smallest city, well, Gladstone's the smallest city, but the county's the largest proportional share of everything, so they would pay quite a proportion.
Chris?
Councilor Gray? Just to add that, I think you're right on the cue with the fact that what I think that they're wanting to do with this study is take the cities and merge them with the advisory committee to make up the group that is involved in the study.
Right.
So it's not just going to be the cities, it's going to be the cities and then this bigger, larger group of people involved.
Right, that's what Greg Geis wants to do. And that's what we're going to push back. You can say, fine. Interview anybody you want, you pay for it, not us. So we'll be hearing more about that.
Okay.
On the sewer theme, we've staff and the consultant is basically to the point of almost writing the draft evaluation of our looking at withdrawing from the sewer district, so we'll have that in a month or so to share with council.
And I'm on the sewer district budget committee. So we're getting that budget out May 7th. I'll be sending it to everybody. Send it district wide May 8th. That to the budget committee first.
Okay. Any other updates, counselors? Comments?
I have a comment.
Yeah.
I just want to say that these work sessions, when we talk about what I consider the meat and potatoes of the city here, to me, are the best.
Yeah.
I like doing this because I think we're talking about stuff that's, I mean, it's all important, but to me, this is really important. So I enjoy these a lot.
Yeah, agreed. Anything else? Do we have anything this week? Updates? What do we got going on?
There's the parks
tomorrow
HOA
night. Who's
meeting
going tomorrow,
tomorrow
night? Mark Lee, did you find out?
I think I might.
I have not found out yet. Who's not going?
David?
I can go.
You can go?
Oh, no, I can't go.
You can't go. You're
Ben's
going. Ben's going.
Mark Austin's going, so three is good.
Okay, so we're covered tomorrow night, okay.
And then we have two unconfirmed next week on Tuesday and Wednesday.
And I'm free for both of those.
Yeah, me too.
I can do Wednesday, I can do Tuesday.
I can do Wednesday, so we'll split it up, if they have the meetings. We haven't heard back if they're scheduled or not.
And I think tomorrow and Thursday in the afternoons, I have, if I were a mayor, I have to go talk to the classroom, so if anybody wants to join that. Happy Valley Elementary tomorrow, 1:30, and Scouters Mountain Thursday at 1:00. I'm going to just encourage them to, if I were a mayor, contest. Nope.
What?
Talk about we can talk informational if you have a question about facts.
No, I don't know.
And
I was gonna say some stuff about the park, but we can't.
Yeah.
Actual stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Anything?
Oh, I was just gonna say one thing in common. Because of those litigations going on, we should schedule the executive sessions. We can always cancel.
Oh, you mentioned.
The attorney calls us up on Tuesday and says, I didn't even talk about this right away. Well, we can't make it announced.
I've already done so.
Okay.
I was already planning on it anyways on the 21st, but then I went and added them out through June.
Okay. Thank you.
Easy to do.
Yeah.
And I think you asked about Joanne. Did you ask about Joanne Truesdale's thing?
I think I just sent it out.
Okay. I don't think I have anything. So thank you for my flowers, everybody. Thank you for my card. I expect you to call me all week, but on Saturday, do not forget to send me a text.
Happens every year.
Thank you. Okay, I need a motion to adjourn, I guess.
Second.
Okay, we're adjourned.
Where are you?